listeners. Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of Living Room Conversations with your girl, Nadia. All right. We get in the living room. Welcome to my podcast. I have here with me my dear friend, Carla, better known as C-Lo-Lo.
Yeah. I'm here on the mic.
And her daughter, my girl, Kiki, is also here with us. Say hey, Kiki.
Hey, follow me on Instagram at _ Kiara Gennaro.
So, well, today, I guess I kind of just wanted to touch on, since this is like the me starting a podcast or whatnot, I was very nervous and I almost let fear take over. So this episode is going to be about fear and some of the things that we have probably gone through, you know, y'all, and some of the choices, decisions you've made, you know, when you had to be braver than what you even thought you could be. Because for me, I was really scared to do this. One, I have no background with radio, media, none of stuff, but I just knew I liked the podcast. And I know when we get together and we have conversations, you know, it is interesting, it's funny, is, you know, it's a little bit of everything. So I just wanted to give it a try. Like, other people probably want to hear some of the crazy things that we talk about.
Yes, and indeed.
So that was why I wanted to do this. But I was so nervous and so afraid and scared. I have nobody showing me how to set it up, how to do it, how to run it, how to edit it. So I'm really teaching myself as I go.
Right.
But it's what I wanted to do. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about fear and how, you know, we can't let that stop us from doing the things that we want to do. And just moving past the fear to get to the other side. Because I believe that if, you know, we let fear, if we let that take over us, then, I mean, there's no, you don't know what you could be missing out on. There's so much more potential, other things that you're missing out on because you're afraid to take that leap, that dive or whatnot. So let's, you know, think about some of your own past experiences that maybe, you know, you overcame fear, and how does it, you know, how do you feel about that? Why are you glad that you did it?
Oh my goodness.
Either one of y'all. Let's drink up. Well, we are drinking some wine. We are having some watermelon Verde.
We
drinking Verde today.
Yep, so get the same effect.
Same effect.
Okay. My biggest fear was going to the military. Like over 20 years ago. Because I had two small kids. Kiki was 5 months old. And no, Kiki, you were 8 months. And Eric was like a year and a half. And then I didn't have no other way to go, though. That was like my last resort. Because when you're a single mom, you have two kids, you're trying to do whatever you have to do to take care of your children.
Absolutely.
And I could have took the easy way out and just say, you know what? I'm going to go get on the system, you know, go get me a little project, because that's what the norm was.
Right.
And my mom kept on saying, go ahead and get your project, girl. Get on your little stamps and get that government assistance and you'll be fine. I was like, no, I want better for my children. And so my little sister joined, and then I joined, and it was the scariest thing I could have ever done because I had never flown on a plane before.
Had you ever left the city? Was that your first time?
I left the city because I used to run track. So, you know, we used to travel.
Yeah.
But girl, I got on that plane, got to Chicago, experienced my first piece of real snow.
And all I could have did Chicago.
Girl, it was, whew. But now when I look back on it, I'm glad I did it. If I had to do it all over again, I would have joined the military.
Wow.
It was the best thing I could have ever done for me and my children.
Yeah.
You know?
And you know, and yeah, that does take a lot to do that. And then, you know, being young to take mm-hmm. a step like that and leaving two kids behind.
Oh, I know your military experience.
You know my military story.
2 hours and 30 minutes.
And guess what? It ain't for everybody. So I'm so glad that that worked out for you, Frifri, because yeah. guess what? I tried it for all of a month and a day. Baby, I was back on that bus.
I was scared.
That, yeah.
But at least you didn't have no children. My butt, my kneecaps, my back of my head, my eyes, everything was against the wall. I'm like, Lord, I gotta do something for these children.
Right.
So I didn't have a choice, but.
So it's a good thing that you didn't listen to the people that was around you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But see,
that kind of goes to what I've been thinking about. It's funny you said that because I've been thinking about this a lot. It's like people that tell you things to do, it's like you have to look at their life and what they have accomplished. And sometimes mm-hmm. you can't listen to what they have because that's all they know. So you have to kind of branch off and listen to people that's kind of doing what you want to do in life.
Yeah. Right.
So that's really what I've been kind of looking into because I'm 25, so my life is just now really starting. So I'm trying to, get serious with life and stuff. So I kind of been thinking about
that. Are you trying to get serious now?
No, for real. Because the type of life that I want to have is very I'm just very outgoing and I know a lot of people. So that's kind of like the lifestyle that I kind of want to go to. That's the direction that I kind of want to go into. I don't want to just have like a boring old life.
Mm-hmm. And a boring day.
Yeah, I want to be doing something every day, going somewhere. Being on the scene, stuff like that. So that's like the direction that I'm going to be working,
What's your biggest fear in trying to do that?
Moving. Because I just feel like I'm so comfortable out here, but it's nothing. They don't have nothing to offer out here.
So you thinking about moving like where?
Like maybe California or not New York, but like a city that's, what can I say, popping, as people say these days.
You don't think you can grow here?
No. Because I just feel like people out here, they hate on you, for one. Like, our generation, they don't show no support.
There's some haters in all generations.
And I just feel like you get more love from people when you go
elsewhere.
That's really how I feel. That's just really...
That's just what I noticed. From there, and when you're not from somewhere, people are more willing to help you.
Yeah, and they're interested
because they're like, "Oh, you from out of town? Oh, let me show you the ropes. Let me show you this. Let me show you that." But when you from here, it's like you've been here all your life, and you still ain't you need to get it together.
Right.
You know, so sometimes going somewhere else, and then sometimes going somewhere else do give you motivation.
Right. You know? Especially if you don't have help there, and you're like, you know what, I gotta get it. I can't go here and play around. This is what I want to do. So I got to do everything, in my power to work towards doing, what I came out here to do. Because sometimes we do get in our comfort zones and it's easy to stay there. And it is so crazy because right before this recording at work, I went into one of my coworkers. I went in her office and we were talking about something. And I had been in the office like 1,000 times and I had never noticed that she had this saying above her desk. And it was pretty, had the little flowers mm-hmm. around it, but the words says, comfort zones are, wait, let me see, because I'm about to mess it up. It says, comfort zones are nice, but nothing grows there.
It's nice. Come from a comfortable position.
Yeah, right. And that's sometimes so we need stuff to shake us, wake up. Burning that desire mm-hmm. that's inside of us because mm-hmm. sometimes you just get comfortable with you and you're like, well, you know what? I really don't have to do anymore. I'm good where I'm at. And for some people, to each his own.
Right.
But, if you really have something internally that's burning, like a desire, and this is what I want to do. Right. You can't sleep at night because you thinking about it or you mm-hmm. looking at yourself a couple years or not even years, just months from now, where you could be if you actually pursue this desire, then, ain't no telling what could happen.
And see, that's why I'm in because it's like, I've been wanting to branch off and do something, but I've just been so nervous and I don't know, something in this city just keeping my, you know, it's home, so it's like you just comfortable here. But it's, I need to just branch off. I just need to do it and go with my move.
I think, I'm not going to say, because I'm just one of those who believe that you can get it at home as well. I feel like, and if you can get it at home, you can get it anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, so, but I know what you're saying too. But sometimes that means you have to change your surroundings. Sometimes you have to get away from the negative people, the naysayers, the people that's going to be, well, why are you doing that? Why do you want to do that?
You got to separate yourself.
So, you know, sometimes your vision is bigger than what they can even imagine. So they can't even give you the proper advice that you need to do what you want to do. You know, what you want to pursue. That's why sometimes it's best to keep things to yourself because, you know, even those who can be close to us, and I'm not saying everybody that's, that tells you something like that is hating on you, but what I'm saying is sometimes they don't understand it because that's not their vision, that's not their passion, and they're comfortable where they are, or sometimes it is hating, and they don't want to see you doing anything more than what they're doing, so I'm going to put these negative thoughts in your head and say, well, why you want to do that? You you know, you got two kids, two small kids, how you going to
do that,
anything is possible.
I did it with two small kids, and sometimes it could be their fear, and they're using their fear against you.
And you then they get, that's like energy, how people could, their energy could transfer, that like somebody having a bad day, then they come bring that energy on you. And now you got a bad day, you're like, well, what in the world happened?
You need to move over there, take your energy and go somewhere else.
Like
don't come by me with that.
Dropped it off, dumped it on you, and you wonder why.
Then they walk out happy.
Because they transfer the energy to you.
Transference of energy is like, real.
Yes, and to play that game, remember?
Yes.
You know that's your movie, right?
That is my movie. But yeah, but I was just like, I refuse to let this fear do this, you know, anymore. And I remember, you know, a situation for me, a big step that I took was when I was going through my divorce, when I decided that this is it. I'm not doing it anymore, because I had all this stuff in my head saying, you know what, I want to make this move, but I'm afraid. I was thinking of stuff like, well, if I get a flat tire, right, so I'm on the phone with the insurance company, like, hey, I got roadside assistance, because I know they'll come out and fix it. But it's like you just start thinking about all kinds of things, and it'll make you stay in a place that you don't want to be in. And then before you know it, your month then turned into a year. And then years.
Like, and then you stuck for 20 years in that same situation where you look back on, you could have changed that 10, 15 years ago and did something better with your life.
Yep, absolutely. And I truly believe that. And that's why I said, man, I'm not letting fear, you know, be the ruler of my life anymore. I'm still nervous. I won't lie. I'm not like, oh, I fear nothing, because I still do. But I'm just going, I think the biggest, the best way to get over your fear is to face that fear. You have face to face it, because other than that, I don't think you, how you gonna get over it?
You're not. You ain't gonna get over it. You're gonna just keep standing
up. You're gonna keep being scared.
Looking at it. It's gonna be looking you in the face, and you're gonna keep ducking or turning the other way, and you're gonna never be able to accomplish nothing or do anything.
And you're just gonna have that thought in your head, like, what if?
What if?
That kills you.
But you know what? But it's crazy, because we program to think the negative. What if I fail? What if we always think about the, all about, for the most part, well, I'll say myself, I'm not going to say everybody else, but for me, just about all my what ifs are negative. What if the system breaks down? What if you just, it's all negative stuff. Everything is all negative, but we got to retrain our thoughts and say, what if this turn out to be successful?
Right. That's what I be trying to tell my husband, like, you know, when he was going through the transition of the jobs, and like we had that situation today, and I'm sitting in there, I'm working, because I'm working, you know, from home, and he was like, man, I'm going to just put in an application and over there by my son. And if I got to cut grass, I'm going to do that. And I'm looking at him because he has his own business. And I'm telling him every day, I'm like, listen, you have to believe in your business. You have right. to have faith and stop allowing that fear to step in and take you to another level.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so when he was walking out the door, I was saying to myself, he make me sick with that always. Be like a little punk, you know, like, just be like, look, I'm hanging out his job. You know, my own business is going to work, which it is going to work,
right.
you know.
Right.
And so he went and sat outside and he, in his, because he go outside for his thoughts and he doing his thought process. And then he came back inside. Then he called me in a room. He was like, they called me for an investigation.
Yeah.
I said, I know. I was like, you got to stop doing that.
Man.
You just got to, like, you know, keep the faith, keep believing. Don't let the fear.
Because the minute
he gets to the point where he has that little time in between cases.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, fear man, and... what I'm going to do? Like, and I'm like, dude. I'm not stressing, and I'm your better half, so you shouldn't be stressing.
Right.
You know, I'm.
But that's why y'all balance. You know, I think everybody is together for a reason.
Yeah, because you balance each other.
You balance, yeah, because
girl, that fear ain't nothing nice.
It's really not.
And they got him to the point where he was like, I'm going to grass.
Which nothing is wrong with that.
Ain't
but
that
you got your
own
grass. But you have your own business doing that. But it's just and that fear
that
kicking.
Yes. It's like, I will cut the levy. If I have to go to, I'm thinking to myself, if that's what you want to
do. If that's what you want to do, yeah.
Ain't nothing about that.
But
don't let that fear get you, because it'll get you to that point.
It'll definitely get you to that point. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's very scary. It's scary when you're walking into the unknown. Once right. again, getting out of that comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy to sit and, you know, this is my norm. This is what I know.
Right, you know? Right. And when you're used to getting an income, a certain amount of money every 2 weeks or weekly, all the time, you don't have to worry about missing a paycheck. You depend on that. But then when you're trying to do your own business and do your own thing and do things for yourself, where you don't have nobody over your head and telling you when mm-hmm. to turn left, when to turn right,
mm-hmm.
you know, then you have to say, you know what, fear, get out my way. I'm going to do what I have to do because I don't want to have to live like that anymore.
Right.
Because to me, when even when you're in that system, you're living in fear because you don't know when you're going to walk in there and they say, you're fired.
Like that happened to me at the grill.
Yeah.
They told us Friday, Sunday was going to be our last day and Sunday was our last day. And that was it. Like, no more jobs. So that's true.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You don't know when that's going to happen.
It can happen at any time. You know, mm-hmm. you just got to really keep your eyes on what it is that what you set out to do. Because you did it for a reason. There's a reason why you started this and why you wanted to do it. And there's a reason. And I believe that, you know, you go forward with that or you think of those things when you get worried or afraid or, you know, mm-hmm. like, well, maybe I shouldn't be doing this,
yeah.
you know, because that, man, that fear is so real.
It is.
And like another incident was remember when I was buying my house?
Oh, yeah.
When I was buying my house and this is me off on my own at this point, I'm divorced. I'm, you know, on my own.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm house shopping and I have my two boys and, you know, I'm ready to get out of the apartment. I made the transition from, you know, life after divorce and whatnot and going
to apartment. You did a good transition too. You was like, your money, everything. You just was on top of everything. I used to be like, dang, my friend really doing this.
And I was scared, but I was driven because of them.
Them children,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I know what I had to do. You know, certain things put you in a different mode. You mm-hmm. know, you go into autopilot and you're like, I just got to do what I got to do. But I was afraid in a little bit because during the time when I was getting my house, when I was buying my house, the owner of the company I worked at, he died.
That's right.
So he died. And then the children, they said, guess what? Pay us or shut the business down. So now, the company, the other board members or whatever, they had to come up with this money, pay them off just so that some of us, not everybody kept their job. Mm-hmm. They got rid of a lot of people. They had to lay them off or cut their time down.
I remember that. Yeah.
Part-time. And then I was one of the lucky ones who they didn't mess with for a while. But in the same, in the process, they were saying, well, you may have your job next week. Oh, your job is in question this week. Oh, you're good. And all that going back and forth. On top of that, so now I'm buying a house. My job is in jeopardy. And my car.
Oh, yeah.
The freaking car. Nobody knew what was wrong with the car. Something was wrong with the electrical. It was like some kind of electrical issue or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I didn't. Nobody knew. I went to all kinds of mechanics. I went to the dealership. Lexus. Crappy.
Lettuce.
Did not. They did not. They couldn't even figure out what was wrong with my car.
Wow.
And you know what they say. If you mind a house, don't make any big purchases. Yep. Don't run your credit. Don't do none of this stuff. Now, I'm at the final stages getting ready to go to closing.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to call my lender. I said, look, this car is about to stop. You know, this car keeps stopping on me.
Yeah,
it's dangerous. I can't drive like this. So I need, you know, I have to get another vehicle. I know I'm trying to get this house, but I need another vehicle as well. And then I got my manager at the time calling me, you know, calling us in the office for these morning meetings and saying, your job is on the line. So a part of me at one time, I was like, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't be getting a house right now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Maybe, you know, I started questioning some things, but I had to go back into another mode and say, okay, remember why you are doing this. And God wouldn't take you, wouldn't get you to this point to leave you.
Right.
So I decided in that moment, you know what, I'm not going to worry about it. And I kind of felt like she kept telling me, because she, every time she started her statement, she said, well, I know you're buying a house and you're by yourself. And see, people, they count you out already. Uh-huh. You know, you don't know what I got going on.
Right.
But you already counting me out. You want me. And I felt like she wanted me to say, all right, well, you know what, I'm just not going to go do with this house because I'm afraid.
Ain't that
but
something though?
Yeah, she did.
Like, but why you have to start the conversations off like that? Like, she's, that is not, you know, even a part of this. All you gotta do is just tell me.
She started.
Do I have a job? Do I not have a job? Or am I my job in, or is already in jeopardy?
Right.
But am I coming to work tomorrow or not?
Right.
Right.
That's all you need to tell me.
Right.
Because if you felt that, like, that motivated about me buying a house and I'm a single parent. You know what you would have said? I'm going to go ahead and seal this job for you for the next year or two because I already know what you're going through.
Right. I think she wanted to see something in me. I think she wanted to see that, feel like, oh, okay, well, you know, let me tell her this and maybe she won't do that.
Probably
you know,
do the crack up.
Whether it had no effect to her. It wouldn't
want anything
gonna
bother her one way or the other.
Right.
Because
right.
She already have a house. She probably knows.
Yeah, you already
parent.
Established.
You know, you already got all that in
line. You got
line.
Everything going on. So why are you worried about me and stopping and blocking me? But, you know, some people are like that. So, you know, and I, when I look at future, like doing this now, for instance, when I wanted to do it, I had to stop before I let that fear get all the way in and say, well, look what you done did before. Look how you then got past and through fear before and where it took you, you know, so.
Oh, but you got to say what happened after that. We skipped that part. So you got your house, you got your, you know, everything worked out.
Oh, yeah, everything worked out. Hello. Everything worked out. Woo, woo. Got the house, got the car. Yeah, not only did I. Yeah, that was some wild stuff because that's unheard of. Everybody I done told that story to, it's like, what? You bought a car and a house within a month of each other? I sure did.
Sure did. That's when you covered.
That's when you're covered, babe.
Right.
Yes, ma'am.
But, yep, so just like what you want to do, put your focus into it and just really apply yourself. Yeah. And those who are truly down for you, they're going to back you and support you. They're going to support you, but you just have to know how to separate yourself from the negative people, the naysayers. And you didn't even got to be ugly with it. It's just, you know, you just pull back a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, girl.
Bye, girl.
Bye, girl.
Yep. You get you a plan. Get you some pencil, paper, write it down. And every day you should have a goal or weekly or monthly, you set some goals, and as you accomplish them, you check it off, put a line through it, do whatever you have to do. You know what you want to do. Okay, this is what I want to do. When do you want to have this done by? This is when I want to have it done by. And then you can see it on paper and you can see your accomplishments. But sometimes we put it in our mind, but out of sight, out of mind.
Write it down.
You write it down and you're looking at it, you'll be like,
that's a different type of motivation. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. It's like you hold yourself accountable.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You see it. You gotta, you know,
just gotta act on it. Set your alarm to it. It's be like, get up, Kiki, today your day to go do this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Put it on your alarm
clock. And just make reasonable, attainable goals.
Reasonable.
And when you reach, you know, it's gonna feel good. It's gonna feel good when you do that.
And then you're gonna be like, I could have did this 5 years ago.
Right.
But yeah.
But it's never too late to start. It's never too late to start. So.
Yep.
Well. I guess this wraps up the first.
Girl, look at my first. I told you was gifted and talented.
Go. Yeah. Girl. Yeah. I was still nervous, y'all.